Are you good, Morgan? All right. Well, if you notice, I don't have a notebook today. Well, every day gone. I just wanted to share some things with you, so I don't even know if I'll use the Bible today. Who knows? I just wanted to share some things with you. Out of my little book. Boy, my glasses are dirty. We're going to be looking at the kingdom, maybe a little bit today, I don't know, but that's kind of where we're going to be for the next little while. But I just wanted to share some things with you. And I thought, well, you know, a lot of times at church, it's we're not so much, but sometimes you can kind of get caught up into formalities. And you know, all that stuff. And I thought, man, I'm hoping I can pull it off where we can just kind of relax and talk and you know, share with you what's been on my heart and what the Lord is, I hope the Lord is given to me, you know. Sometimes I wish it would be more plain about it and I'd get an email or a text or something, say, hey, this is from God. Write it in the sky. Or, you know, I get jealous when I read the scriptures and the handwriting's on the wall. I come up here to church and I look everywhere. I see a spider, but I don't see no handwriting. Dadgone it. But, you know, it's, I don't know if people look around or not. And what I mean, look around at our country. Now, first thing I want to talk about just a little bit, and I'm just throwing this out there. You know, we got some, we don't, but you know, there, Israel and the Palestinians are duking it out again. And, you know, this brings about with it a lot of stuff in the church. They, again, everybody thinks, well, it's the end of time. And then I hear people say, well, you don't mess with Israel, they're God's people. I get frustrated sometimes because I'm thinking this is coming from church people. I want you to realize something. The covenant, the new covenant that we have, is not a written document. It's a person. The Isaiah says, I will give thee as a covenant for the people. So I have to ask, if God has two covenants, does he have two Jesuses? You understand what I mean? So, and to say this, that Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Israel. And then all of those who believe on him are his body, which is Israel. So he doesn't have a covenant with non-believers over in the Middle East. You know, I know you guys know that. I just wanted to share that with you a little bit. I mean, I could go through 1,000 scriptures and, you know, people say, well, the Jews are going to get saved. The scripture says they got to get saved the same way you do. You got to believe on Jesus. So their salvation is no different than Japanese salvation or American salvation or anybody. You got to believe on the Lord. I mean, that's it. And I just want to tell you some things here. When we're fed a bunch of stuff. Do you realize that we're fed a bunch of stuff? Like Denise says, we are trained how to think. We don't even know what's happening to us. We're trained how to think. Even when I was growing up in school, I was trained to hate Russians. Never met a Russian. I met one lady, Irina Alperovich, the nicest ladies I ever had. She was maybe from Lithuania or something. She was a Jew. One of the nicest ladies I ever met. She was a Jew, a little child in World War II. But, you know, we were grown up. We were conditioned to hate certain people. Now our kids are being taught to hate other groups. You're being taught to hate illegal immigrants. You're being taught to hate all kinds of different cultures around the world. It's being fed. And people say, well, no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And there's a purpose behind it. I want you to realize here that there is really a kingdom of darkness. And we don't know how much that darkness has infiltrated our homes, our minds, our children. And I mean, it's really real. And I look sometimes and I don't know if people pay attention. You know, I go to work every day. Neil goes to work and, you know, everybody just goes to work. And I don't know, do you listen to the conversation that's going on? And I listen and I think, do people even realize what's happening? I mean, do you even realize what's happening? I'm telling you guys, and I that's why I got no notes. I said, I just got to go talk about this. You know, there was two horses in this race going along. And in the world here, one of them's called communism, and the other was called capitalism. Well, you know, in the 80s, communism fell. The Russians, they kind of fell. They went under. So we looked at it as a two-horse race, and one of them fell. So that means capitalism wins. Woo, yay! That means America really is God's chosen country. You know what we're watching now? We're watching the fall of an empire. I don't know if people sees that or not. I don't. Sometimes you think, well, you're supposed to be bringing the good news. This, you know, for the church, it's good because we're watching one go down. But as far as church people, I want us to look and see and understand the rise and fall of an empire, and it has to. It has to, because there's only one government that can make it, and that's the government of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, for people to look at it and say, well, America's God's, we're a Christian nation, that is so far from the truth. I mean, it is not. But see, but America, and I'm just throwing some things out here. We were just talking about culture. Now, who are we taught to hate now? For one, you're taught to fear the Chinese, right? They're going to take over. I want you to understand something about their culture. What are they known for? A great wall. Now, why are they known for a great wall? Because they didn't want to be bothered. They weren't aggressive people, but you've been told they're aggressive people. You've been told they're mean and all. They built a wall because they don't want nobody messing with them. But here you are, and you're told, and, you know, when you look at the news is wanting you to pick a side. Either you're Republican or you're Democrat. Either you're a conservative or you're a liberal. Either you're a white supremacist or a BLM. I mean, one or the other. So and they want you fighting amongst each other. I want you to realize at the end of the Roman Empire, what they did was they had their own sports stars. You guys ever watch Ben-Hur? They had chariot races. They had gladiator tournaments. And they had superstars like we got superstars. They had their Tom Brady's and Tiger Woods and all of that. And they were superstars. So everybody just watched their superstars because they didn't want them to realize that the rich were over here taking all their money, taking everything that they had because greed was ruling the whole thing, and they don't want them to realize that it was all falling down around them. Well, that's what's taking place today. When I say I go to work and I listen to the culture, I listen to the talk, I wonder sometimes, I mean, you're taught to hate illegal we call them illegal immigrants. I mean, why would they come over here? I mean, there's a million different reasons, but does your heart not break for them little babies that they leave out there in the desert? Them little children that they drop over the wall? The young ladies who were raped 100 times on the way up here? Does your heart not break for that? Doesn't that, I mean, you know what it does to me? It pisses me off. I mean, I'm telling you, it does. I get mad. When I look, do you realize in this country, we got obesity on one side and malnutrition on the other side. How can this be? You realize there's enough food in the world that should never be anybody hungry. I mean, you realize that. But on one hand, we got this. On the other hand, we got that. Why is that? I mean, how much do we throw away? How much do we waste? And you know, in Americans' DNA, America's DNA is violence. We're a violent culture. I mean, there was sayings that came out. And I've discovered some things here recently. Do you know when America was building the railroads, they brought in a lot of immigrant workers? Well, one of them was the Chinese. And you ever heard of Chinaman's chants? The reason we have that is because they would give them short fuses on the dynamite and stuff. So when they were building the tunnels and, you know, at the end of the week, when they didn't want to pay a bunch of Chinese, they blew them up. This is America. It's pitiful, isn't it? And then after we got the railroad built, you know what we did in 1840-something, somewhere around in that time, we sent them all back. And I don't know if you realize this, from 1840-some to 1970, Chinese was not allowed in the United States. We were erecting the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, telling, send us all your poor. There should have been a caption that said, except the Chinese, they're not welcome here. Christian nation. Because the Chinese were good workers, and we can't have that. So out of here. And you know, today we got Homeland Security. Do you realize that our homeland is called Planet Earth? And until we learn to get along with one another, I mean, honestly, you know, and but see, it's like the Israelis and the Palestinians. Do you ever go and look at the history of that and understand why these people are fighting? I mean, all you're taught is the Palestinians are terrible people. The Palestinians, I mean, look, they're firing all these missiles on rockets. Do you realize that the Israeli people, and I'm just telling you, I want you to know this, you're not going to find this on Fox News or CNN. They're not allowed to put it out. Because in America, you're not allowed to say anything against Israel. Do you realize that Gaza Strip over there is a slum? And the Israeli people run all of those people out, bullied them, got them out of there. And when the Palestinians, who didn't have nothing, would throw rocks at the Israeli people would just kill them by the droves, kill their children, would just go out and take pop shots at 6- and 7-year-olds. Do you realize that? Now, that's not on the news and not allowed. I know one reporter, and you can go check him out. His name, I hope you will, called Chris Hedges. And he's seen these Israeli, the Palestinian children, and they Israeli built a wall so they couldn't get to their olive trees, and they got no running water, they got no electricity, they're all starving to death. And you think, well, where do they get the missiles? They get the missiles from the Iranians, because everybody hates Americans, because all Americans do is rape and pillage everybody around the world. Because it's greed, it's money. They got oil and we want it. That's it. Christian nation, right? I get mad about it because, you know, they want you to pick a side. It makes me quite aggravated. And when I talk to Americans, like I said, you got to work, you know, the conversation is, you know, we're going to go to the lake. We're going to get us a camper. We're going to get, we're, you know, we're just, that's all I hear about is going out to eat. And I just think, you know, what people has, Denise has said this for a long time, asleep in the lap of luxury. And I'm telling you what, our country as a whole is asleep. And they don't care about nothing but my campsite down at the lake, what brand new vehicle I'm going to be buying. I mean, do you understand what latest luxury can I have? And I'm telling you what, from the bottom of my heart, I believe this with everything in me. We're about to enter a new age. There's many ages in the Bible, and I believe the new age that we're about to enter into is called the age of consequence, when all of these things come back around. I seen a thing the other day. 10% of the population in the world is autistic. 10%. That's a huge number. And within the next 10 to 20 years, that number could rise as high as 50%. Now think about that. Because one of the big reasons is nutrition. I mean, the food you eat now ain't what, you don't get the stuff out of it from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Nutrition. And I'm telling you, I mean, you've seen it, of how it affects children. And look now, how many of our children are brought up in broken homes? I mean, you know, Neil and Bev's an anomaly. It don't happen. A mom and dad raising kids together? Oh, I mean, come on. And you do realize, and I know that you know, women wanted equal pay for equal work, and I understand all that. But, you know, God set an economy up. And you do realize this, that the woman in these young child years is supposed to be at home nurturing her children. I mean, that's where she's supposed to be. And that is more important or as important as the man out working. But in today's society, we can't keep up. So we got to have everybody working. So what does it do? It erodes and destroys the entire family culture. And I don't, you know, we just say, well, what is all this about? I could sum it up real easy. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Wasn't that the question? Who's my neighbor? Well, who are you around? Everybody. So, you know, it's about being good to one. But you're being taught hate. You're just being, hate is coming at you from all sides, everywhere. Hate. To hate somebody, to pick a side. And you know, for me, Republicans, Democrats, they're all lying thieves. Every one of them. They're all lying thieves. Fox News, a bunch of liars. CNN's a bunch of liars. They're all lying thieves. And all they want to do is tell us to hate everybody. So I think we're entering into the age of consequence. And you know, we can look around the world. I told you I'm just kind of talking a little bit. We can look around the world. You remember Jesus says, what, will I if it already be kindled? Kindled? You know, talking about fire? You saw last year with the pandemic, all of a sudden they come up and say, well, no toilet paper. How long before it was gone? Day and a half, it was gone. Do you see what happened last week? Going to be a gas shortage. Well, you about had to have a daggone pistol to go get gas around here. I mean, people was lined up all over the place, filling every gas can, and, I mean, you know, just boom. So, have you looked around to see how many weapons have been sold last year and this year? Records. Ammunition, records. Yeah, I mean, does people ever stop and think about that? You realize that World War I started with two people dying. They got assassinated. I can't remember who they were. That started World War I. I mean, it started a world war. And it's almost like we're all it's going to take is the right event in the right place to set the whole powder keg off. So what's the church going to do then? You know, and I wondered, so you think, well, this has never happened before. It's happened all through this Bible. It's happened all through there, but, you know, it's like we're not allowed to talk about it. Like Matthew 24, well, we say, okay, well, y'all know that dealt with 70 A.D., but Jesus was warning them, so do I just take Matthew 24 out of the Bible and throw it away and say, well, that's not for me anymore? Or can I look at it and learn from it and see and look at the signs and say, well, hey, we better pay attention. We better look, and our Christianity better be real, because when the storm comes, we laugh when the storm comes, and we think the storm means my electric bill went up. When the storm comes, your house better be built on the rock. When he says he shakes heaven and earth, everything is gone in that shaking except the kingdom of God. So we read he raises up nations, he throws them down. Okay, where's the church in all of that? I mean, you do realize that over here in Egypt, there was a little place over here called Goshen that God put his people in while he rocked the world. I mean, he rocked the world. I mean, we read about them plagues. I'm telling you what, he rocked their world. And in my mind, I think he's about to rock the world again, because how can this stuff continue? I mean, we consume 80% of all the drugs in the world. How many abortions every year? How many people do we have living on the street? All it is hate, 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 hate everywhere. And they started this stuff, and then they wonder why. Do you realize that in the Middle East, we call them terrorists, right? Terrorist groups. We got to give them names. I know this, I don't know this guy, but he was a reporter, kind of like with Chris Hedges and those guys. And he said he's interviewed hundreds of terrorists from the Middle East. Hundreds. He said not one of them wants to be a terrorist. They're forced into it. What do you mean forced into it? We're thinking of evil governments. You know why? America. Because what happens is, here we are, you guys remember weapons of mass destruction. Never did find any. So we go into the country and we wipe the country out, right? Well, just so happens, this is good for the economy because there's a great boost because we get to go over there and rebuild the economy. Never mind that Dick Cheney owns Halliburton, and Halliburton's the number one contractor in the Middle East. So, man, they can go in with the military budget, wipe the place out, then come in from the other side and rebuild it, and none of that money goes into that country. It all flows right back through Wall Street, through the whole nine yards, and they're getting rich. And when they do that stuff, they say it's for the betterment of those people. No, we want a government to put in that we can control. And what happened, these people over there, they're just little villagers raising their sheep, raising their olives, you know, and they're happy where they are. And now all of a sudden, there's a parking lot out there with no cars in it, and they've lost their homes, they've lost everything, so they got no other way to feed themselves except to go up, and to them, they're called freedom fighters. So we created the whole thing because of greed, but to us, they're called extremists. What would you do? I mean, do you ever think about that? What would you do if they just come in here and said, you know, you got legal action, right? You'll take them to court. And they could just come right down here and go right to counsel and say, hey, we're taking every home here. Why? Because we just want to, and we're going to wipe it out. Where are you going? I don't care. We're not giving you nothing for it. You're gone. You're a bunch of little poor people anyway. And you're out. What are you going to do? You're going to fight back? You're going to roll over? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to share one thing with you. We look and we think this was a terrible terrorist attack, and it was in September 11th, right? 9/11. I mean, that was terrible. I mean, every one of you remembers what you were doing, where you was at that time. It was terrible. You're watching, you're like, did that other plane hit that building? And you're watching like, oh my God. Well, the thousands and you know, it's amazing that when that happened, the firefighters and NYPD were heroes, and today they're spit on and cars burnt and I mean, it's think where we've come. I mean, doesn't that make you angry that these New York police officers would run in a burning building to save you, and a few years later they're being spit in their face, and we think this is a Christian nation? I mean, come on. It ticks me off. You know, I pray for judgment. I really do, because you know what judgment is? Judgment is to make things right. And I got news for the world. It ain't right. And the church is asleep. I just think the church is asleep at the wheel. We're too worried about everything else in our programs and looking good and all of this other stuff. And I say, don't y'all, can't you feel the earth shaking underneath your feet? Can't you feel it? Do you not see it? Hate coming at you from all sides. I'm kind of like Daniel. To me, he said, I refuse to eat the king's meat. So sometimes, you know what the king's meat to me is? It's Fox News, it's CNN, it's OAN, it's everyone else, and MSNBC. Do you want to eat the king's meat? Or do you want to shut something else off? And I said, daggone heck with it. But think about this terrorist attack, 9/11. Now, what if, I mean, that was terrible. What if they would have attacked the Capitol? What if they would attack the White House, killed the president, killed all the members of Congress, set up their own government, and run the country down and starved thousands of people and genocide all the Republicans in America? Wouldn't that have been a worse a terrorist attack? And you kind of think, well, I mean, you know, that didn't happen. That'll never happen. The first September 11th really did happen. And it happened in 1973. And you can look this up. September 11th, 1973, Chile, South America. When the CIA-backed people went in, led a coup, overthrew the Chilean government, ousted them. Hundreds of thousands of people were murdered. Oh, yeah. All in the name of democracy, because we wanted our own president there. All led by Richard Nixon. But you see, did you hear about that? Have you ever even heard about it? Well, I mean, you can Google it. Check it out. The first September 11th happened 1973. But you see, we can't talk about that. Do you get a hold of this? So I get aggravated about it. And I tell you, and I'm going to share something with you out of my book. I told you I just had to share this with you. Thursday, you know, we come up here Wednesday, and guys, I don't know if you know this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I usually do a pretty good bit of studying. And reading and all of that other stuff. And sometimes I think I do okay. But I get frustrated sometimes because I think, man, I feel like I've did everything trying to make the church grow. And I think I've run more people off than has came in. And I don't mean that, but I guess I'm hard-headed. I don't know. And I never did want to play the game. And I've never wanted to be in the clique. And I know that all of those things take place just like they do everywhere. And I never wanted to be that. I just wanted to say, here it is. Here I am. I'm about as daggone transparent with you as anybody can be. I'm just who I am. I always wanted to be real. If I'm smiling, I mean it. And if I'm not smiling, I'm aggravated or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm just me. But you know, you and I know people have said, well, don't worry about numbers. And, you know, and I understand growth in the church is not about numbers, but sometimes you get a little aggravated about it. But I look around and the Lord has sustained us amazingly here with few people. Amazingly. I'm astounded sometimes at our budget. I just like, good Lord. Sometimes I go look at it and I think, well, Kathy ain't paid nothing. Well, she has. It's still there, ain't it? It just keeps multiplying. I don't know. I look and I think, well. So I don't understand how. I mean, he just has. But, you know, you get frustrated sometimes because some people could say, hey, I'm going to blow my nose tomorrow at 12 and you know, 1,000 people shows up and, you know, I get frustrated about it sometimes. So, and you know, and I think, gosh, and sometimes I think, why do I waste my time? Sometimes I feel like Paul, you know, well, these daggone Judaizers are wiping me out. And when I say the Judaizers, I'm thinking, man, I can't compete. You know, I can't compete with the lake down there. I can't compete with the campers and the boats and, you know, all the other stuff that goes on, all the big preachers around and all the programs and the flash and all the stuff that they got cooking. I just can't compete, you know. So Thursday night, I'm kind of frustrated about it. What Denise said about for his honor, that's the same as saying for his name's sake. That's for his own honor. King James says for his name's sake, his own honor's at stake. And, you know, I've been listening to John Wimber some too. He's dead now, and they were, you know, kind of come through the charismatic things, which I know nothing about. Zero. Nothing about. I didn't even know that word existed till I met y'all. I had no idea. What is it? What do you do? And I look around and, you know, people are talking about all these gifts and all of this stuff going on. And I just get frustrated. I look around and this is how your brain works, or mine. I look around and I'll say, well, I guess I really am the only one that you just ain't going to give nothing to. Do you ever think that? I guess, Lord, I'm the only one. I guess I don't know what I've did. Or maybe, you know, so the devil comes at you. Maybe you ain't worthy, or you're just dumb, or he can't trust you with, you know, all of this other stuff. And then I think, well, maybe that's why, you know, so you just, you go on and on and you beat yourself up over it. And I said Thursday night, I said, you know what? I'm going to be too forthcoming with you. But, you know, you pray about these matters, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and sometimes I feel like I just, well, to go out and talk to that daggone rose bush out there, that stump or something. So I'm tired of it, and I just tell the Lord, I said, you know what, I ain't talking to you no more. You don't ever listen. I ain't talking to you. I said, I'm going to get my guitar out, and I'm going to play music tonight, and I just ain't going to talk to you. Heck with you. I'm tired of it. You want somebody else to go run your church? You go run it. I don't know if you guys ever get frustrated. I get frustrated. I get mad. So I just, you know, heck with it. Just move on. So I go to Thursday night. I was playing music. I wasn't playing a lot of church songs either. Playing all kinds of just whatever just come to my mind. Yeah. Just playing music. And so Friday, you know, just go to work and ain't much going on there. And Friday night, and I'm going to share this with you, and you'll probably think I'm crazy. Friday night, man, I had this wildest dream I've had in a long time. And I woke up at 3:07 a.m. wide awake. 3:07. You ever wake up? I mean, wide awake. I mean, most of the times I don't wake up wide awake. I mean, this is one of them raised from the dead kind of, woo, wake up right this moment. Sit straight up in the bed, and I heard the words, write this down. Write it down now. And I missed a couple of details because I didn't. I was thirsty. I got up and went to the fridge and got me a big old drink because I'm just going to tell you. I thought, if I'm going to write this down, I'm going to take a big old drink of Diet Dr. Pepper because it's good, ain't it? I didn't write acting. I do part A and B. You just do part A. I took a big old drink of Diet Dr. Pepper and then I put a big old dip of snuff in. You probably don't do the part B. Not yet. But anyway, they work together. They work in conjunction, you know, just to get that taste in. And I said, man. So then I got my book out and I started writing. And there's some symbols in here, okay? I don't have the meaning to all of this stuff. And as I go through it, you're going to think, man, he must have been on some wacky weed or something. I really wasn't. I don't do that stuff. I got it. So maybe the Lord might give you guys some of the interpretation. So, and I wrote it down, May 15th, 2021, 3:07 in the a.m. Dream very vivid. Now, some of these symbols you won't know, but you know, this is one of these things that just get a hold of you. That's the reason I don't have a notebook up here today, because I couldn't go nowhere else. My mind was just here, looking around. My mind was just here. And I know as I read this, you're going to think, well, where's the great prophecy at? Well, I don't have no idea. I'm just sharing with you what I got. But this was very vivid. So this dream starts out, and there's several scenes in this dream. It starts out over at Noyes, Dad's brother, where we hunt at, where Dad grew up at. And it starts out right there. Now, he'll know these places. So this was, what's that horse's name? Chance? Yeah. Right there where Chance is, he's got a little lot he runs around in. Of course, in the dream, he wasn't there, but there was a big old thing there with a ladder on it. And it was facing down the hill towards Gary's house, and I was up on that thing, and I was trying to climb down. I was coming down off of that. And the ladder that I was on looked like it was on crooked, looked like it was leaning. And I just thought, this thing's going to fall with me, you know. And it was really skinny. And I know it's going to sound like cartoon stuff, but my feet was big. And I couldn't get my feet in the ladder things. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to climb a ladder. I was coming down the ladder, and I was hanging on. The ladder's crooked. I can't get my feet in the rungs. I'm trying to get my feet in the rungs. And I'm, you know, I look down, and I'm like, them ain't my feet, because them feet was that big. I couldn't get them in the ladder rungs. And I was scared. And there was a man on the ground over there near the shed looking. And he said, you can do it. It won't fail. And then it just seemed like my feet went right in. And, you know, just boom, boom, you know, like a pro coming down. And I made it down. And I'm not sure who that was that said that. But, you know, I can just remember, you know, how big my feet was, and then how little the ladder rungs was. So I finally get down, and I had to take the ladder down and hand the ladder to the next guy. Well, I thought it was welded up there, but you just pick the ladder off. So I just took the ladder off, and you know, like if I'm facing down towards Gary's house, I laid it up the hill over here on this side. And then it was ready for the next person, so I had to, whatever I was given, I had this stuff that was given to me, so I had to hand the ladder to the next guy, and then I had to hand what I had to the next guy, you know, just the handing them off. And I did that, and I pitched the stuff because I had to give it to the guy who was going to give it to the next person, the same guy that said it was a good job, it's not going to fail. I had to give the ladder and the thing to this other guy and hand it off to him. So when I handed it off to him, he says, good job, I got it. You know, like mine was, you know, I'd finished that part. So as I walked around, I left that and I walked around towards what we call the corn crib right there. But the corn crib wasn't there. And I wrote down here, I had to go back and look. We were supposed to make a video of the ladder. Now, this is where things get weird. And another guy had said he would do it. And it looked like a guy I was in the Marine Corps with back in the 80s. And, I mean, I could just see his face fresh as day. You know, I hadn't seen a guy in 40 years. And he was very frustrated because he wasn't sure how to do it. But I knew how to do it, and I told him I would do it, and I told him I would show it, but he kept refusing. He was going to do it. He was going to do it. He was going to do it. But time was running out. He had to get this stuff done. And I had to go in this dream. I was supposed to go, and I was supposed to meet Tracy somewhere. I don't know where. And the guy who was supposed to make the video got to looking around, and he says, wow, you've changed a bunch of stuff. You've made a lot of changes to the way things used to be. They used to be a certain way, and he said, I hadn't noticed you made a lot of changes. He said, you've cleaned up a lot. And I said, I had to go. I'm already late. And he's still frustrated, so I left. So I walk out to where the old black gate used to be. And there used to be a little creek running down through there. And so I go out there, and I've got to walk down the hill. I've got to walk down the holler there, not going out the road, but down the holler. And it's cleared off. There wasn't trees or nothing like it is now. And as I walk down, as I'm walking down through there, I'm kind of in a hurry. There's a guy sitting there. Now, you'll think this is crazy, but he says something here in a few minutes that's really powerful. The guy sitting there, I'm walking by, is John Wayne. It's John Wayne. And he's in his cowboy outfit. It's John Wayne. And I didn't even see him. And John's sitting on the ground. This is smiling, and he's all big and happy, and it's John Wayne sitting on the ground. And I walk by, and he says, hey, where are you going? I turned around and look. I said, I got to go meet Tracy. And he says, it was like we knew each other, like we was pals, like we were good friends. And John tells me, he said, he says, when you get down there to the bottom of the hill, watch out for them horses. Watch out for them horses. And then he said, take Trigger with you. Yeah, it was a horse. He said, take Trigger with you. So I took Trigger with me. Trigger was a black horse. So here we go down the hill. Headed down the hill with the Trigger following me. Weird stuff, right? So I got down to the bottom, and as I came out, there was a bunch of horses almost like in a stampede coming down off the hill. Now, I'm in the holler, and I'm coming out like going this way. And these horses are coming down the hill, and they're going this way. So we're about to cross right there, right? But they're in like stampede mode. They're coming down the hill. And they, next thing you know, I'm right in the middle of them. And I can hear these horses talking. These horses are talking. Yeah, talking daggone horses in my dream. And these horses start relaying back and forth. They said, hey, there's a man up here. And he's broken rank. Now, anybody in the military would know what that means. That means we got a formation going this way, and when you break rank. And they said, this man up here is broken ranks. We need to teach him a lesson. We need to get him. And I thought, man, you know, I thought I was in the Bible or something. The donkeys was talking because they was talking. They was talking. And old Trigger, he starts talking to me. And Trigger tells me, he says, go on through, don't stop now. Press on, you know, go on through, don't stop now. And these other horses start running at me. And they're pushing me around. And, I mean, if you've ever been pushed by a horse, I mean, you're kind of almost helpless. They're just banging me around and, you know. And finally, this other brown horse, I could tell it was a young horse by his voice. Yeah, I could tell it was a young horse. And he says, and I wrote this, that's why I had to write it down, man. He says, I'll get him. And he charges me. So by him saying that, the other horses kind of quit bouncing me, but this horse charges me. Now this horse, I know it was young and I know it was very stupid because he's trying to butt me with his head. And I look and I'm thinking, you stupid horse, you're not a cow. Cows got horns. Cows use their head. You're a horse. Horses turn around and kick. You know what I mean? But he's butting me with his head. And all the other horses, they go on, they're left me to deal with this brown horse with a white face, those horses talking to him, telling me he's going to teach me a lesson for breaking rank. But then he realizes he can't do nothing with his head, so he turns around, starts kicking. And he keeps kicking, but I keep moving, and he keeps, you know, he's missing me. I didn't get kicked. And then Trigger steps in between me and the brown horse. And Trigger gets kicked in the stomach really, really hard. And Trigger went down, and it's almost like I thought Trigger died. And the brown horse, it scared him. He bragged about it, but I could tell he was scared, you know what I mean? And then he run off. He ran back with the other horses trying to catch up. I thought Trigger was dead, but he got up, and he said, I got you through, now go on. So now I come to the next scene. And, I'm kind of laughing when I tell you this stuff because this, you know, I'm not writing another book of the Bible, obviously, with John Wayne and talking horses and Trigger, big feet. I'm just sharing with you, and I had to. So the next scene I come to, I don't know where we're at, but it's almost like we're at a, we're in this valley. And you guys ever been to some amusement park and you got to wait in a long line to ride a roller coaster or something, ride a ride? And usually it's kind of a shed, and you know, because they try to get you out of the sun. And, you know, they kind of got it petitioned. You know, you're in this line and then there's a petition. Maybe somebody's in this line and there's a petition, you know, just railings. Well, that's the way this was. It was a long, as far as you could see, covered shed. And it was partitioned off with wood. And everybody had to stay in line. But I could walk up on top of the boards, but they had snow on them. Everything had snow everywhere. It was snow all over the place. Now, there was some kids with us. I don't know who the kids was. There was some kids. But I saw a man that went ahead of me, and he was taking a board. He had like a street board, and he's cleaning all the snow off so that I could get up on those boards and run. And I thought, wow, a few minutes ago my feet was so big and I thought I was going to fall off a ladder, but now I can run down these little old boards, not even fear of falling off. I had good balance, you know, I could run. So I mean, that just seemed like it was awesome, and I could hear there was others following, but I couldn't see. They were following. But I know there was a couple of kids with me. And then over on the left, I heard this screech owl. Man, he was hollering. I asked the little boy that was with me, you hear that screech owl? And the screech owl was hollering and hollering again. And then finally this little boy said, I hear it. And I looked up the hill, and you know, you don't see owls in the daytime. And I looked up the hill, and there sat this daggone screech owl right on a limb in a pine tree. And I saw it, and it just kept screeching and screeching. And we watched, and finally that owl started flying right towards us. I mean, he's making a beeline right at me, this owl is. And this is the weirdest thing. That owl come, and this is one of the little parts I can't remember in the dream if I use my right hand or the left hand. But that owl was coming, and I thought, oh, man, we're going to get attacked by a bird. I done been attacked by horses. Now a bird's going to attack me. So I just held my hand up like that right there. And that owl flew straight into my hand. I mean, he still got his wings spread out, and his head is stuck in my hand. And Dad was right behind me in the dream. And here's this owl stuck in my hand. Didn't really stick there, but I mean, you know, that he's stuck. And Dad started laughing. He said, my Lord, I have never seen nothing. Hey, did y'all see that? And so I just started turning around showing everybody I got an owl stuck to my hand. And everybody is like, that's the most amazing thing in the whole world. I'm like, yeah, look, there's an owl stuck to my hand. It's pretty wild. So everybody's looking on in amazement. I guess it is pretty wild. You got an owl stuck to your hand. But the owl was still alive, but the owl looked like it was all dazed. So I grabbed the owl, you know, like this. And I remember very vividly the owl's eyes, very vividly. I remember its eyes looking at him. And then the thing started to move around, and I remember seeing its claws. You ever seen an owl's claws? And it scratched me with its claws, but it didn't even leave a mark. But I knew the owl wanted loose. And so I just let him go. I thought, well, go on. And he dropped to the ground, and his tail feathers fell off. Yeah, it's wild, ain't it? His tail feathers fell off, and he couldn't fly anymore. So he was just bouncing on the ground, and I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this brown and white owl, that is all of his tail feathers fell off. He looked embarrassed, and he bounces around, and he just bounced away. And, you know, I'm reading Isaiah 34, not in the dream, but I get up because the owls are talked about a lot in the Bible. And they are talked about coming into places that are desolate. That's where they live, and they screech. And, you know, when God talked about that owls would inhabit old Jerusalem. That's what he was talking about. You know, the old covenant he's talking about. He'll wipe it out and it'll be full of owls and, you know, things like that. And I thought, well, here I am, this owl's coming at me, snow. I mean, you're thinking wintertime, death, and, you know, all of this stuff. But we put a stop to it and it didn't have any more power. So the next scene, this is the last one. Last scene. Scene number four. I finally arrive at this stadium. Now, when you came into this stadium, it was like dug down into the ground, and it was very, very steep. Like if you lean forward, it's like you fall over. So I'm not sure where Tracy's at, but I'm looking for Tracy in this stadium. You know, you come in and you're trying to figure out where they're at. Well, guess who's there? Old Big John Wayne again. And as I'm looking for Tracy, he hollers at me. Hey! He said, come over here and sit with me. So I thought, well, John Wayne asking you to go sit with him. Yeah, that's a good idea. So as I'm walking over, I see Tracy and Morgan and Kayla way down yonder. And they had saw me, and I kind of waved at them. And I was like, y'all need to come up here. So they come up there. They're making their way through the people, and I'm sitting there with John Wayne. And John Wayne he's not in his cowboy outfit no more. He's dressed kind of nice. And people wanted our picture together. They're like, hey, you know, some people just gathered around, but they was like, me and John was celebrities. But he was the bigger one, of course, but, you know. So they want our picture together. And me, in my dream, I'm still cracking jokes in my dream. I lean over to John, and I say, hey, John, when you go back, you can tell him you took a picture with Jen Moore. And he laughed, and he rib punched me, you know, like, yeah, I'll tell him. And we was kidding around and having fun, and everybody was staring at us. And it was like I knew who he was, and he knew who I was, and we were pals. And I get handed a little baby. It looked like my little niece's baby, Ariel's baby, pretty little baby, just a few months old. And I'm holding this baby. This is why I had to write this dream down. I mean, here's a little statement that I just can't get. But I'm holding this baby. And, you know, I'm not got it up here because the baby's just handed to me, you know. So I've got the little baby right here. And John looks at me and says, I'm 42 months away from pregnancy. And now you're thinking, what is that? Well, 42 months is a very biblical number. That is times and a half a time. That's how long Jesus preached, 3.5 years, 42 months. I'm 42 months away from pregnancy. So, and I couldn't, that's why I had to write all of this down for that very statement right there. I mean, phew. Now, as John says that, this little baby spits up like babies do. And it was projectile spit up. You ever had babies with projectile spit up? You know, it just don't dribble. You know, it's got a 3 or 4 foot radius. And the baby spits up, and I tell Ariel, I think it was Ariel, not to give the baby chocolate milk anymore, because that's what the baby spit up, a bunch of chocolate milk. And I told her, and it's all in a dream, Zach was the same way. Because when Zach was little, he would drink chocolate milk too fast and throw it up 100% of the time, every time. It wouldn't matter. He'd throw up in my car, wherever. I mean, Morgan's laughing because she knows he would drink chocolate milk and he just loved it and he guzzled it down. And within 5 minutes, it was back up. And as I'm writing this down, I knew that there were some people in the church, not here, but some people maybe you know that are like that. They get so hungry for the gospel. They get so hungry that they eat too fast. And you know what happens when you eat too fast? I mean, it wasn't that the chocolate milk made Zach sick, but, you know, his body said, I don't need all of that right now, so we need to get rid of some of it. Up it came. So, and so some people are, you know, they're eating everything. They're eating too fast. And then they spit up. Now, this spit up got on John Wayne, got on John. And I'm trying to wipe it off. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is John, my friend. And then I kind of recognized, I don't know, this was a moment of awe, like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this off. You know what I mean? I mean, I got to get this off him. So I went to get it off, and I almost got scared. I needed to get this off of him real quick. And John started laughing, and John's big old laugh. And John said, don't worry at all. I've had plenty on me. And I'm sure I'll have plenty more. That's what babies do. Yeah, let me read that again. He said, don't worry at all. I've had plenty on me. I'm sure I'll have plenty more. That's what babies do. And I woke up. And I woke up, and immediately I sat straight up in the bed. And I just heard, you need to write this down right now before this thing goes away. And I just wrote, these are my thoughts. I remember the dream was so vivid. It was in color. It was so, you know, those two statements. I'm 42 months away from pregnancy. Hearing the horses, you know, the owl. I mean, everything was so vivid. What's it all mean? I don't know. That's why I told y'all. Maybe y'all know what it means. I don't know. I know I'm going to be looking out to see if there's any horses that talk. Or if I see any owls running around, I don't know what I'll do. But I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. And I couldn't really come up with anything else, you know, as far as any kind of sermons or, you know what I mean? I mean, this had just sucked me into this whole thing. So I don't have any. I know I look around and I wonder, you know, you're trying to figure out like those horses going one way and me going another way and getting pushed around and all of that. And that was great encouragement, what John told me and what the, you know, because it seems like you're bucking the system. They're all going one way and they got so much power and so much strength and they just push you around. But that wasn't the way to go for me, you know, but it was hard. And even the attacking of the others, but you know, there was encouragement there, and there was, you know, that other horse that took the hardest blows, you know, and I, you know, with his stripes were healed, you know. I don't know. I see all of that stuff, and being put in a place of snow, and loneliness, and you know, the being attacked by the owl, but the owl couldn't come in there, and it's lost its glory and just was stuck in the hand, and its feathers fell off and it couldn't screech anymore, and you know, just all of those things, the snow going away. So I don't know if the Lord was you know, when I go online and I Google a lot of stuff and say, what does this mean? And you know, the Lord didn't give me, you know, all of that. So I go back through the dream and I look little by little. What does this mean? Does it mean anything? Tracy and I had ate that evening. It's because some people say, well, that's a pizza dream. We ate supper about 7 o'clock. I hadn't ate anything after that. So this was 3 a.m. I don't, but, you know, I'm 42 months away from pregnancy. And I just thought, what does that mean? So I've shared with you, you know, Thursday night, I ain't talking to the Lord no more. I'm done. Friday night, horses are talking to me. John Wayne, owls are flying at me, snow, ladders, big feet, I don't, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So I don't know. I've thought about it, and I'll tell you, I don't know. I can't, I wish Nevaeh was in here so I could tell her that I can't lie to you, because she'll say, oh, yes, you can. You do every Wednesday night. One more, this is my last verse, and you read 20 more. You lie. But what I'm saying is, I don't know the future. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, well, the Lord gave me this, and this means that. I don't have a clue. America may fall, it may not. If I had to bet, I would say it's going to. I mean, because I know the signs, I know the just the Bible in that sense. Why do I think with the church? I would say, even in Jesus' time, he said, there's a people professing me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's going on today. And so where we go, what we do, I have no idea. The Lord has each one of us here. Why, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the bigger picture is. I don't have a clue. I know when I ask the Lord, you know, what do we do? What do we do? I get one word, go. I don't know what that means. I don't think it means that we need to move to another state or something, but go, I think, just means to Start living the kingdom. Start living it wherever you're at. Be it. And that's what I get out of that. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not like, oh, we need to have a group meeting and do all of this. I just think he says, go out there. Just live it. Be it. Do it. Wherever you're at. I was listening to him yesterday, and we're going to do our communion here in just a second, and I was driving up Tracy's, and, you know, my chest was hurting. It was just hurting right over through here, and I was listening to old John, and John was talking about doing the stuff, and he said, just be healed, and Jesus said, just be healed in Jesus' name. I just laid my hand up here on my chest, and I said, what the heck? Be healed in Jesus' name. It quit hurting immediately. I mean, it really did. Well, now I'm driving up the holler towards Tracy's, and my hips has been killing me, and I know I'm getting old with arthritis. I'm trying to get my hands down in under the seatbelt. I'm trying to drive with my knees, and I'm trying to get my hands down there. You know, be healed in Jesus' name. Well, that didn't work. So I said, well, they're still hurting, but I'm glad they ain't a camera on me all the time. And I'm driving with my knees. You ever drive with your knees? I'm trying to get my hands a seatbelt, and I can't get the seatbelt loose because Tracy's got bumps on the road, and it's all tight. I thought, well, heck, it worked up here. Maybe it'll work down there. It didn't work down there. So, yeah, but you know what I mean? And I just thought, yeah, I mean, one of the things that John is taught me, and John is dead now. And I just thought, you know what? It ought to be fun to be a Christian. I mean, shouldn't it? It ought to be fun. And I mean, you know, learning stuff and doing it, but shouldn't it be fun? And, you know, sometimes we can kind of get and, you know, we can all. And I'm telling you what, I believe this with all my heart. I believe Jesus was fun to be around. I just really believe he was. That's why people want to be around him, because you didn't feel no condemnation. I mean, you didn't feel like, oh, gosh, I don't want to be around this guy. He's too religious. Shoot. They was having parties, dancing and wine, and called him a wine bibber and a glutton. And, you know, I mean, I just, you know, the cool stuff he did, walking on the water. And yeah. I think it was fun, and I think for us it ought to be fun. Maybe that's what we miss out on, because I was, you know, like with the Lord, and you know, sometimes I can see him smiling, you know, like laughing at me when I say, well, I just ain't going to talk to you no more. I can just see, you know, look, if I can see the Lord laughing, like, you wait till I give him his dream with John Wayne and Trigger and these talking horses. He'll be a mess. He won't know what to do, and I can see him just laughing. Owls flying into his hand. This would be something like out of Narnia. Laughing. So I said, you know, why can't we just have fun? And you know, joy. What is the kingdom of heaven? Righteousness, peace, joy. Maybe that's why. I mean, every time, have you ever prayed and laughed? And what I mean is, you ever pray for somebody and just felt free in it and just said, you know, like I was driving down the road, be healed in Jesus' name, I honor that. Be healed in Jesus' name, almost laughing. Yeah, right, be healed. I'll show you. Yeah, I'll show you. But, I mean, do you see? Just be healed. But, you know, every time it's like, okay, we got to pray for somebody else. Like, all right, joy, leave. No smiles. Be serious. Get all the thuses and thous. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to quit. I remember going down to this church. I'm going to tell you where it's at. We're way down the road here. And I never did, you know, I always felt like I was too proud to get on both knees and pray, and kind of had this soldiers thing and football's thing. So I'd get on one knee, you know, like this. Get on one knee, you know, and Tim Tebow prayer. Yeah, that's a prayer, you know, like kind of like that. And I remember I'd hurt my daggone knees, and I couldn't do like that, so I had to get on both knees. And I remember preaching this sermon, and I remember the response I got, because I remember saying, yeah, I was going to get on one knee, and I couldn't get on one knee, and the Lord hurt my other leg and put me on both knees, and the Lord, he'll bust you up, and he'll put you on your face. And all the crowd was going, amen, that's right, the Lord will get you if you don't get on both knees and put your face on the ground. He'll bust your other leg up, because that's the way he is. Amen, preach it, brother. It's the way the Lord is. And I thought, yeah, that's the way he is. So we look around and we think, yeah, he's going to bust them up, but he's going to get them, and he's going to wipe them out and crush them all. Yay, America, we win, because he hates everybody else. And I look at that and I say, my God, I can't believe those things even come out of my mouth, that the Lord busted my legs up so that I would. Isn't that stupid? Huh? Yeah. I'm glad that he winks at it. And I mean, you know, can't we just laugh and have fun and enjoy this Christian walk that we got? I had to go back. You know what I did yesterday? And I'm going to quit here in just a second. I'm lying again. Don't bring Nevaeh back just yet. We get all the lies out of my system. I had to go watch that movie, Narnia, because I knowed in the movie Narnia that some horses would be talking in that movie, so I had to go listen. And the horse's name in that movie was Philip. It was riding on. Do y'all ever see the movie Narnia? That's a great movie. You ever watch it? Yeah. You never seen the movie? Oh, it's great. It's C.S. Lewis. It's a Christian movie. I mean, it really is. The lion, what's his name? Aslan. Aslan. I mean, that's Jesus. He has to offer himself up for the sin of Adam and gets sacrificed on the stone table, and they cut his mane off, and then he resurrects, and oh, it's awesome. Aslan, yeah. All them animals is talking. Huh?
I am the
I. Yeah. I think the funniest part is when they come out into the movie and they just get into Narnia and they just went to Mr. Tumnus's house and he's gone, and they come out and the old guy's, he sees that beaver and he's going, come up, and the beaver walks right up to him and he says, well, I'm not going to sniff it. And I'll jump back, and he's like, he's a beaver. He shouldn't be saying anything. So when they first discovered the talking animals, oh, it's awesome. It really is. And you know what? I know this is how crazy we are. You know the way the world is and the animals, they're not, everything we've seen is fallen. We've never seen animals made the way God made them in the garden. In the garden, lions wasn't eating other animals because there was no death. They didn't even have a desire. All of that changed. So we don't have a clue. We just think it's common for all of this. Everything was vegetarians. So here we are in this fallen world. So, and horses do talk. So anyway, I'm going to